it is, your spouse or your children and things like that, however far you go down the line with the exchanging of gifts. But you want to be a blessing. Believers don't need to be a Scrooge in this season and hour that we're in. And people will say, well, it's all commercialized and all of that. Well, don't see it from the commercialized perspective. Don't see it from the worldly perspective. See it from the believer perspective. What is it that you're doing? Now, if you choose not to celebrate the day, that's fine. You know, we don't even have to celebrate the Hebrew holidays. Even the Hebrews, they don't even have to celebrate them anymore. They're supposed to, but they don't have to. Under this new covenant, Paul says, if you want to observe it, then you observe it. You don't want to observe it, you don't observe it. You know, God's not going to get bent out of shape out of that. But there is a blessing in observing it. And there's also a blessing in giving. And it really increases when we give to somebody who does not have the power to return the favor. You understand what I mean? You do something for somebody that, you know, they're not going to be able to do anything for you, but you're not doing it for that reason. Although this, and it's in your bulletin, this is, you know, when you're in the kingdom, you can expect to reap as you sow. As you give, you can expect to receive. You don't necessarily have to expect it from that person. And when I say that, it's not like you give to bless somebody so that they can bless you back. You give because it's just, you know, it's the thing to do. So you're actually sowing or releasing. You're making somebody else's life better by what you are doing. God sees that. And Jesus said it best in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. With the measure you meet, it shall be measured back unto you. So when you give, you can give expecting something's coming back in return. But in the meantime, you're trying to bless and enhance and help somebody by releasing into their lives. And then you leave it up to God. And God can move on that person that you've blessed, or he can move on somebody else, or he can move on others as well to cause them to come and bless you. And there's no obligations in it. This is not a loan. This is, praise God. And so in this time and season of giving, as I share with you and exhort, you know, look to bless somebody during this season. Amen. Well, I don't have much. Well, what do you have? You know, the prophet Elisha asked the widow, you know, what do you have in your house? I ain't got nothing but a little cruse or jar of oil. Okay, that'll work. Praise God. And so you may not even think that you have something to give, but if you ask the Spirit of God, he'll reveal to you, yeah, you got something. And it may be little in your eyesight, and it may even be meaningless in your eyesight. But to somebody else, it might be just the thing that they need and have been praying for. And so you go and you bless them, and you, and many times, you cause a bad situation to turn around for glory and honor. They end up giving God praise and thanks on your behalf because you obeyed God. Then God looks to either move on somebody else's heart on your behalf, or God can even deal directly with you. Unexpected income. I don't know. I called the people up. I said, are you sure? I don't know. I'm not supposed to have this. Yes, it's yours. You sure? Yes, it's yours. Okay. You know, I'm just making sure that it is. God can move in any fashion that he so desires, but he will see to it that as you give or as you sow and as you bless, you will be blessed as well. Amen? And so even in this opportunity, this season and time that we're in, take the opportunity to bless somebody. I'm doing it at the beginning of the month so that when December 25th comes around, you will have time to have done something for somebody. Amen? and try and find somebody that, you know they can't bless me back. But this will certainly help them out big time in their situation. Amen. Hallelujah. It's awesome when you can bless somebody. Praise God. You make them better. You take a weight or load off of their shoulders. You may not be able to take care of their whole situation, but even if you contribute enough to make it a little bit lighter, that burden a little bit lighter, they'll be thanking God on your behalf. Lord, I thank you so-and-so did this. I praise you for that. Amen. Amen. So let the spirit of giving run its course. Let the spirit of the living God move in and through you and use you in this season. And just think of it like this. People are going to be thanking God for what I have done for them. And if they don't thank God, it's okay, because you're going to thank God that you were able to do this for them. Amen. And God's got your back. He's got you covered. He's watching and he sees, and it's going to be a blessing. Amen. All right, so with that being said, let's get to the word, and then we're going to be done in about 10 minutes. Hallelujah. I said Psalms chapter 119. Yeah, let's look at verse 160. This is not the verse that we're going to get to, but this is the passage. If you've ever read Psalms 119, you know, one of the key points of it is the truth of the authoritative word of God. It continues to complement God's word. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do we need to turn the heater down? Is it getting kind of, you know, like stuffy in here to where you just want to take a pillow and go to sleep? Praise God. Okay. All right. All right. So there's some other powerful scriptures in here. We're just going to cover a few. Verse 160. If you're there, say amen. Okay, it's on the screen for those who don't have a Bible or don't have it electronically. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments, decisions, if you will, verdicts, if you will, endureth forever. That's the confidence. They say, when you look at commentaries, they're not sure if David wrote it. We believe King David wrote it. But whoever wrote it, they knew what they were talking about when it comes to the authoritative power of God's word, the truth of God's word. There's another passage, I think it's verse 89, that says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Meaning it's established, it's set up, if you will. There's not going to be any changes, any altering. There's going to be no deviations. What God has said, it is written, and it will not change, because God will not change. So forever, O Lord, your word is settled or established in the heavens. That's Psalms 119, I believe, verse 89. But here in verse 160, it says, the word is true from the beginning. So when I read Genesis, I don't have to be confused about Genesis. Chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, dot, dot, dot. I don't have to question that. I can believe that. I can hold fast to that. I can hold fast to, and God said, and it was so. In the beginning. Now we know that Jesus is the Word. He is the Word incarnate when he was manifest here on the earth, but he was the Word also in the beginning. He has no beginning. When God spoke, it was done. Jesus finished it all. It says that by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. That's talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. And so from the beginning, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments or decisions or verdicts endureth forever. In other words, they continue on. Now, we know that we're under a new covenant, but the word of God is still true and forever settled in the heavens. It's already been established, and it will not change. It will not alter, if you will. We don't have to do certain things that they were doing under the old covenant because those things have been fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and all they did was prophesy of Jesus who was to come and fulfill all things. But we can still hold fast to the promises of God. And we can also see the mindset of God towards certain things. They were forbidden under the old, and they're still forbidden under the new. It was bad under the old, it's still bad under the new. God has not changed in that regard. His nature, his character, his integrity has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's speaking about Jesus Christ. That's speaking about God. And so we can hold fast to the truths that God has already established. They are they will endure forever. So a generation may come if Jesus tarries 1,000 years from now. And they may come in the time that they may come. People may be flying to Mars because they've already, you know, they were NASA, or whoever it was, NASA, I think it was, they were excited because they got this little satellite spaceship and got it to land on Mars, and now they're taking pictures and sending it back. I always wondered, was that always just TV? You know, what was that, Outer Limits or something like that, where they just showed on TV and stuff. That was just me growing up. But no, they've actually placed a satellite that is taking pictures on Mars, and they are now talking about traveling to Mars. Probably one of the first ones that may go if he lasts long enough, lives long enough. That is the one who did, the owner or builder of Tesla. What's his name? Elon Musk, yeah. And so even still, if they build a rocket that, and this thing took almost 6 months to get there, something like that, so even still, if they build rockets that they can travel to Mars, God's word will still endure. His word will not change because technology changes, society changes, culture changes, trends and things and fashions like that. All of those things change, but God's word will still endure. It will still be established. It will still be true then, even as it is now, as it was in the beginning. This is the confidence that we can have in God's word. His word does not change. Society changes. I mean, look at transportation now and how we go from one place to the other and things like that. Look at how technology has changed. I mean, whoever thought that social media would become such a magnet, I think is the right word to use, would become so huge, so large, and, you know, people become billionaires like overnight. They can sell a company and become a billionaire instantly, if you will. Whoever thought those kind of things would happen? But we see it happening now. People become billionaires overnight. People become millionaires overnight. People become broke overnight. They lose out on Wall Street. They lose out with the stock market and things of that nature. But God's word remains constant. Things that we used to do and we've changed from that, you know, we've changed and our behavior changes and all of that, but God's word still remains the same. It'll never change. Let the church say amen. His righteous judgments, his verdicts, his decisions endureth forever. Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. One of the blessings that I learned in my growing in the things of God is that there's two books I believe every believer, it would do them good to study, to meditate on, memorize scripture, if you will, but especially to study, and that's the book of Psalms as well as the book of Proverbs. To me, Psalms helps you to build, you know how they say you can read books and it'll help you to build your vocabulary so you'll be able to articulate and speak well and things like that? Well, Psalms will help you to build your vocabulary and communicate with God. Because you start to see even some of the mindsets of the psalmists where they just, it's like they're on one point, then they venture off to way over here, and it's like, whoa, how did, but if we look and examine ourselves, we kind of have a tendency to do the same thing. We're talking about something, then all of a sudden we jump to something else, or we're talking about something, we forget what we're talking about, and then we go on to something else. But, you know, you can see how their thoughts, you can see the unison of their thoughts, but then you can also see how, and then you can see how they felt about their adversaries, and they'd be wanting to call the judgment of God down. So John and James and John, they probably were some of those that studied the Psalms, because they want to call down wrath on people because they didn't receive Jesus. But anyways, he says, princes have persecuted me without a cause. So rulers can be over you and persecute you. Rulers can be over you and mistreat you. Supervisors, if you will. Managers, if you will. You know, subordinates can be, you know, insubordinate to you, if you will, and persecute you or talk about you. But look at what the psalmist says. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I'm telling you, we got some growing to do as the people of God. Change and transformation. I'm talking about the divine nature of God on the inside of us, that it germinates, it expands and enlarges. In other words, it takes over our thoughts. It takes over our character. It takes over our behavior. It just takes over. I mean, we start to even culturally see things from God's perspective. And the thing I believe that as believers, I'll just speak for me in particular, I have to be careful, because when I'm dealing with an ungodly person, they will do anything and everything, and it's because of their Adamic nature. But when I'm dealing with a believer who will do anything and everything, then all of a sudden it's like righteous indignation can rise up. But then the thing of it is do I want to win them, or do I want them to go, you know? It's not like you tolerate the wrong or the error, but you want to bring them back into the fold. Amen? You want to see them restored and renewed back into the fold. And you don't want anybody to go to hell, especially a brother or sister in Christ who once came, you know, and then, no, you don't turn your back. You want to bring them in. We might need to turn the AC on, because some of y'all, or maybe I've been over my, you had your 10 minutes. It's over. It's up. Stop. I want to go home. I'm sleepy. You're going to get outside, and you're going to be wide awake. Whoo, let's see. Let's go and let's have dinner. Praise God. Yeah. Princes have persecuted me. So people do stuff to you. But because you're a dead man or a dead woman, you're dead to the things of the world, you're alive to the things of God, though they do those things to you, listen, this is your heart, this is your mindset, this is your attitude, this is how you respond. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. I'm still impressed with your word, O God. They can even persecute me for your word, but I'm still impressed with your word. They can ridicule me and mock me because of your word, but I'm still impressed with your word. I'm still holding fast to your word because your word is true. Hallelujah. I've settled it in my heart and my mind. I've settled it the way I'm going to live my life. It, you know, and I say this, and I don't say it to divide. I say it because this is the life. This is the path. You know, it doesn't matter who it is on the other side. If they oppose you because of the word of God, you're going to stop? You're going to let go? You're going to quit on God? No, you're going to keep pressing on with God, because you're at all. You're inspired. You are impressed with the truth of God's word. So you may get persecuted. Somebody may tell you, you know, you don't need to do that. You don't need to say that and stuff like that. Or you ain't got, it ain't, don't take all of that. Yeah, it does, and it does more. Yeah. And it's not labor, it's living. We get beyond works. This is life. Remember Jesus, John chapter 6, verse 63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. I'm not speaking to your flesh. I'm not speaking to your soul. I'm speaking to your born-again spirit. And I'm communicating to it life. And the life that's being communicated calls you to be strong. So when people come against you, you still stand. Does it hurt? Yeah, people do stuff. It hurts, especially loved ones close to you, or somebody shocks you and stuff like that. You know, and I'm telling you, this is close assembly and all, you know, something happens and stuff, and you just, but you know, you keep going. Yeah, you keep pressing, you know, because stuff happens to us. But it's okay. The prince, the ruler, supervisor, the president can say things that Oh, praise God. I got to get to this verse. Okay, just give me some extra minutes. I won't even say how many I need. Just give me some extra minutes. I rejoice, verse 162. Let's keep moving. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I rejoice at thy word. Can we get there, saints of God? Well, you know, Apostle, every time I pick up the Bible, I get sleepy. I try, but I just, you know, after two scriptures, and then what happens? Well, I put it down, I lay it aside, and then I lay down to go to sleep, and then I'm wide awake. I'm being facetious, a little humor in there, but it just medicates, help you to take the sting easier. You know, I had my dentist one time. I don't mean to be gross, but, you know, I had to have some work on one of my back teeth. And so what he does is he will put, of course, his finger with the gloves on in my mouth, and then he'll take the needle, and then with his one finger, he'll start just, you know, like, make me forget about it and then stick me. So I put a little humor in there. That's the instinct. And then stick you. And then you say, oh, that was good. Praise God. Didn't even feel the pain. But listen, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. So you're walking down the street. You find this bag, and it's loaded with $100 bills. You're going to do the right thing, which is give it to the authorities and see if anybody claims it. If they don't claim it, it becomes yours. So nobody claims it, and it becomes yours. And then you fill out the praise report. God, praise God. I was walking down the park, in the park, and I found this bag of money, and I gave it to the authorities, and it had $750,000 in it. And nobody claimed it, so I got it. Oh, praise God. Bring the tithe, $75,000 tithe. Bring it on in. Hallelujah. I rejoice. You rejoice. The whole congregation rejoices. Yeah, amen. Amen. Rightly so. Rejoices. But look what the psalmist said. I rejoice at thy word. Like one. Rejoices in a great spoil. That's my excitement when it comes to taking this word and opening it up and sitting before God and starting to read it and starting to eat it or listening to it. You know, with techniminology, if you don't got time to read, you can just push the button and play and let somebody else read it to you. Bedtime for Bonzo. No, you can, but you can let it play. And even when you sleep, your spirit man will be awake and will be eating while you're resting and sleeping in the presence of God. But he says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. In other words, just as happy as you would be in finding some hidden treasure or something that belongs to you and it's big, it's massive, it's huge, great. That's what great is. It's that same kind of enthusiasm. That same kind of excitement, that same kind of passion, you know, it's especially, you know, in the days, we don't do much of that today, but now you hear about many who are sailing on the seas and going down to these ships and planes and stuff that, but primarily the ships that have sunk down at the bottom of the ocean and that they're going down there and they're finding out there's gold and stuff like that on the ships and stuff and they want to bring that up and things like that. They're going out searching for treasure. You know, the miners, when they came to mine for gold, they were searching for treasure. And, you know, you can do certain things and looking for some treasure, if you will. And then when you find it, you're excited about it. It's, you know, the Bible tells us that that's how we are to pursue God's word. Wisdom, according to the book of Proverbs, wisdom's like, if you search for me as silver, praise God, you'll find me. I hate and abhor lying. Does anybody like anybody to lie to them? Praise God. So I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now, Rabbi once said, I don't know if it's true, but I wouldn't question it because there were many who remained so faithful to the faith that there were certain things that are literally written that they literally did. And so in this instance, it's like seven times a day do I praise thee. And they say the way it went was in the morning when they got up, they praised God twice. They praised him before they got into the scripture and after. Then in the evening, they praised God twice, read the same passage of scripture, and then prayed twice again. There's another one in there. I'm missing a couple. No, two. Let's see. Two, four. I think it's twice first and then once afterwards. I forget how it is, but they actually praise God seven times in a day because of the word. And this was all centered around God's word. It says, I hate and abhor lying, but your law I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Listen to this. This is a tremendous blessing when I saw this. Great peace have they which love thy law. Now, the Hebrew meaning for peace is more than just calm. Peace deals with safety. It deals with the security. Peace deals with the prosperity. Peace deals with the blessing. The way they summarize it, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. That's peace. Great, huge, humongous, abundant peace do I have. Have they which what? Love thy law. Because you can rest in God and you can trust in him. You can depend and rely upon him. And this is what he wants for every one of his sons and daughters. You'll know whether you're trusting God if you don't have peace. Let me say that right. You'll know whether you are trusting God if you have peace in the midst of a storm. Your storm may be different from my storm. You'll know that you're trusting him because one of the things you're going to have is perfect peace in him. Even in decision making, it's like the word of God tells us this over in the book of Philippians. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. Don't let anxiety settle in on you. Don't allow yourself to become so burdensome, you know, about what's happening. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding or passeth all understanding. That word passeth, it means that it is superior to your understanding. So say it this way. And the peace of God that is superior to your understanding shall guard your heart and your mind. That's good. Yeah. 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 The shalom of God, the security, wealth, prosperity, inner calmness, yes, but nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. So the next time something beats at your door, demanding urgency. Did you hear what I just said? Huh? Demanding what? Oh, you did hear me. Demanding urgency. I just wanted to make sure that the loudness didn't. Something demanding. This is urgent. This is serious. This demands your immediate attention. And so, because of all of this, you understand what I'm doing? It's the situation. It's like knocking, 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 knocking. All of a sudden, that knocking, 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 knocking gets all inside of you, and you start knocking, 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 knocking. hear what I'm saying? I got my goofy stuff on today, I guess, but I'm almost done. You know, it starts, you know, busting stuff loose in you. So now its peace has disrupted your peace. And you become like its. When the Word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication. Prayer, start communing with God. Supplication, start making your request known unto God. Make your request known unto God. Make your request known unto God. Why am I repeating myself? That's what you are doing. You're making your request known unto the Almighty El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, the breasty one, the nourisher, the miracle worker. He hears you when you pray, when you call, when you cry out to him. He hears you. And then what does he do? He brings his peace first. That surpasses all understanding or goes beyond or above, is superior to your understanding. So your understanding is I've got this. And it's like, oh, I gotta do something. Yeah, you gotta pray. I gotta give this to Father. Daddy, here. This is yours. Take care of it. I can't. And so Dad's like, I got this. And I got you. I got this. Don't you worry about a thing. Everything gonna be all right. Daddy's here. Daddy's in charge. Okay. And so one of the things that's gonna happen to you is all of a sudden, whew, I just felt this overwhelming peace. Peace in my heart. Peace in my mind. And I feel protected. Yeah. Why? Because you're being guarded by Dad's peace. Jesus says, my peace give I unto you. Not the peace of the world. My peace. Perfect peace. Peace that has no limits. Peace that has no... invincible peace. That guards your heart and your mind. And all of a sudden, you're like, praise God. You just know it's going to get taken care of. Yeah, you just know it's going to get taken care of. And so now that you've given it to the Father, you know he's working things out. Now you wait for the wisdom. What do you want me to do? And he begins to communicate with you. And now instead of going about and doing the thing, because you're going to have to do some things, okay? Instead of going about doing the things as a basket case, scatterbrain with all of your emotions and everything wrapped up into what you're doing. Now you're just walking in confidence. Hallelujah. God's got this. Yeah, he's taking care of it. Praise God. He's taking care of it. So now I just walk in simple obedience and enjoy the Lord. Great peace, not just peace. Everybody say it, great peace. Great peace. Yeah. Have they which love thy law. Now, if you don't love God's word, you might experience little peace or no peace. Praise God. But you got to love his law, his word. And listen to this. And nothing shall offend them. In other words, nothing shall become a stumbling block. Nothing shall become a stumbling block. Nothing shall move you off course. Nothing shall entrap you. Nothing shall bring you into bondage. Whew. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Master, we thank you. We thank you. God is good. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I thought I'd go ahead and share that as the Lord shared that with me. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everything that you've done today, every life that you touched. And I don't know if that person is still here or was here. It could be somebody that was watching. But in this area, whether it's sore or what have you, clogged up or what have you, this is the sinus area. I think something like that. Whatever it is. If you're here, raise your hand. If you're not, then you just speak it to those who may be watching. But anyways, the Lord is clearing that up. And if you're here, you just receive your healing in Jesus' name. Carlitos? Ah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for divine healing. You are a God of your word, and your word is forever settled in heaven. So we release your healing power and anointing in his life, and we thank you because you've already done the work, and therefore we just give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Give him a hand of praise. Now that we thank you, as we get ready to leave this place, we don't leave your presence, that you go with us as we go. And Father, we pray your blessing on each and every one that is here, here in the tabernacle, down in the MP room, that the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell because you're the church of the living God. Pillar and ground of truth. The Lord bless you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, and guide you with this eye. In Jesus' name, everybody who received and believed said amen. Amen. All right, give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. We love you. We'll be back here at the altar at 6 o'clock for those of you who want to come. It's just 1 hour. 1 hour of prayer, and then we dismiss and go home or wherever else you'd like to go.